Guess I better turn the microphone on. Do you love the Lord this morning with your whole heart? Hallelujah. It is the thing that he is after. He won't settle for anything less. He wants 100%, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Well, we've definitely not exhausted the first four offerings, but we've gone through four, and the interesting thing is we are now going to look through the peace offering, which is what got me started on this whole thing to begin with. I don't even know when I started, how many months ago, but I don't know about you, but me personally, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. You know, I've learned a lot. And what's pretty cool for me is, when I read a lot of the things that the apostles and the disciples wrote, it gives better clarity, puts things in perspective of what they were declaring. Amen. You know, one of the things we have to understand is that God started a work. And that's a wonderful aspect. And most folks have camped out in that dimension or just beyond it. But you and I must come to an understanding, and so must everybody else, that God isn't just after starting a work. He wants to complete a work. He wants to finish it, doesn't he? He wants to bring it into fulfillment. Like it says in the book of Corinthians, it says, we know in part, you know, we do in part, but that when that which is done or said in part comes to pass, it must come to a completion. Amen. He began, he desires to finish. If you were building a brand new house, you get all excited, you get the land cleared, you get everything, you know, started, all the materials there, everything. But that is not the end goal, is it? The end goal is to live in that house finished. Amen. And enjoy it, right? God's building a house. He's gathered all the wood, all the stones, all the building material. He's the craftsman, isn't he? He's the workman. He's putting it all together into a house that he wants to what? Live in. A house of sacrifice, isn't it? Now what Peter says? Living stones. So I want to embark on the journey of the final offering of the main five. Do you remember what they are? There was a trespass offering, sin offering, meal offering or grain offering, and a burnt offering. So this is the peace offering. It also sometimes is called the fellowship offering. All right? And there's some interesting aspects to this offering that the other offerings do not have. Now, there were of the five offerings, they were categorized into two different categories, right? And anybody remember what they were? Voluntary and involuntary. So which one do you think this one falls into? Voluntary. You don't have to do this. This is simply a choice. Right? Sin and trespass, we have no choice. Right? But the other three are voluntary offerings. And I like to look at it this way, is we have no choice in the sense that I can't help but choose it. like Paul wrote, the love of God constrains me. You know what I'm saying? So I think one of the things I'm going to start off today is, if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 3, we're going to read the chapter, and then we'll just read it and see what the book has to say, and then we'll go from there. Is that all right? Leviticus 3, starting with verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd would be cattle, whether it be a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys he shall take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. All right? We understand most of what we said if we remember the burnt offering, don't we? What got burnt, right? Okay. And it is a sweet offering, isn't it? But if you remember, it has to be put in order for it to be sweet. Or it has to be according to the prescription that God has designed. All right? Verse 6, and if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, meaning sheep, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof around about the altar, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, the whole rump, it shall take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. The two kidneys, the fat that's on them, the flanks, the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. I like how God eats, don't you? Verse 12, and if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covers the inwards, the fat that's upon the inwards, the two kidneys, the fat that's on them, the flanks, the caul above the liver, the kidneys, and he shall take it away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat. Remember what the word fat was there? The choice parts is his. The Lord's. Now, I like this next verse. I really do. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Interesting. It's a perpetual statute, or it's an ordinance that God had set forth for every generation. Amen? So we had the what? We had one of the herd, one of the flock, which, you know, you either had a bull or a cow of some sort, a bull ox, whatever, male or female. You had a sheep, male or female, and then you had a goat, male or female. Amen? You know, it's interesting. I did a little study the other day. I never knew this. If I asked you this question, how long is the tail of a sheep? How long would you tell me? Did you know sheep can have really long tails? And most of them do? I never knew that. And what most of the time we see sheep, the tail's already been what they call docked. Right? But if a sheep was docked, it was considered blemished. And this makes perfect sense. Why? Because if the fat of the tail and the stuff went to the Lord and you docked it, it was blemished. The details of God are just mind-boggling. And man has so done his own thing that it just becomes tradition or normal way of things, right? Or way of doing things, I meant to say. Turn with me now to Leviticus chapter 7. Just have a couple verses here. Leviticus 7. Leviticus chapter 7. Verse 11. You ready? And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. You see how they got mixed, right? We could go back to the grain offering and we would see all what them things meant again, right? And besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So, therefore, he just described to you and I, well, remember, the peace offering was what? Voluntary. So if you're bringing forth an offering of thanksgiving, okay, this is how he wanted it, didn't he? And if he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers the sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. So in this case, if it's a voluntary offering, you don't eat it all up the first day. You get to eat it the second day. All right? But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned. It's kind of interesting. We can eat flesh the first day and the second day, but you can't eat flesh the third day. See, people want to eat flesh all 3 days, but God says no. The principle is the same no matter where we look at it, right? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the third day. It just won't. No matter what we think, no matter how religious we are, it's just not happening. Watch. In the outer court, there was man. In the inner court, well, there was God and man. But in the holies was what? God only. Because really think about that. Only one day out of, I'll say, 365 days was a man even allowed in there. And it was not even a long, it wasn't even that long. And I still am amazed. The only time you were allowed into the holies of holies is when you afflicted your soul, the Day of Atonement. See, everybody wants to go blasting through there. Hey, God, accept me the way I am. No, he said, afflict your own soul. Are you with me? But if the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offers it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eats it shall bear his iniquity. So another, can you imagine that? You carried it all the way over to the third day. You started this thing with a sincere heart. Oh, God was so great on the first and second day. So he won't mind a bit on the third day. God cares about order, doesn't he? He cares about his pattern, doesn't he? And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten, and shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that can be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offerings that pertains unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So you can't even be unclean, can you? You can't be unclean during the time of the peace offering. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of a man, the uncleanness of a beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. All right. Let me see. Is there some? I thought I wanted to read one other place. Leviticus. Nah, maybe not. Okay. So, the peace offering. The word for peace is shalem. All right? It means requital, a voluntary sacrifice in thanks. Did you hear that? It also means to be safe in the mind, safe in the body, or safe in your estate. All right? I like this one. It also means to be completed. Just think about that. The peace offering in itself, and this will make sense to you in a little while. I don't know if we'll get to it today. But it absolutely has to do with completion. Okay? Are you with me? It also means to be friendly. It means to reciprocate. Complete, sound, prosperity, wholeness, fulfillment. The peace offering was the prosperity offering. Did you hear that? Are you guys cold? Beck, I'll turn it up for you. Hey, the gas bills are cheap, so we can turn it to 80 if we want. Amen. It's the prosperity offering. Woo, baby. But a real problem is when we hear the word prosperity is we tend to do what, Steve? Make it natural, don't we? Money, things, stuff. But real prosperity. I mean, what's today's proverb? Wisdom does what? Cry. Right? And the Lord says to seek that. Like what? More than silver and gold. So the real prosperity, or how about this, the unsearchable riches, is the prosperity in God, isn't it? prosperity. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. The primary purpose, all right? The peace offering afforded opportunity for the worshiping Israelite to enjoy communion with God and His redeemed people. Listen, this is the part that most folks don't really understand. Is, listen, when Adam fell, he made a breach. Right? We can go back and God walked in the cool of the garden, or the spirit of the day, didn't He? And He walked and He talked with Adam and the whole works, didn't He? But when Adam fell, there became a breach. There was no longer peace and harmony, no matter how good God was. There was a gap. A break in the wall, right? There was a divide. Think about where the real divide was. The minute Adam said no to what God had asked, there was no longer peace, was there? And the world has peace. Even Jesus said that, didn't He? But real peace, watch this, isn't when everything's just going good. Real peace is a connection with God that goes beyond human understanding and reasoning. And in the aspect of bringing this voluntary offering, because of the breach, God in this environment said, when you do it, you can have peace with Me. And we know this. I'll fast forward it because we get to look on this side of it. And every time every Israelite or every single person who brought a thanksgiving offering, a peace offering to the Lord, it was just like the lamb, right? It was just another offering getting to the place where Jesus would fulfill every aspect of the law. Amen? And then, because it is perpetual, you and I get to take His work and apply it to our lives so that we can go on to perfection or completion. I'm going to throw in a little bit, you know, I'll say more. But the true peace and harmony, because listen, and we'll read it in a second, the real peace and harmony of the peace offering was this is the only offering where the offerer got to eat some of the sacrifice. The only one. That's why in another place it's called the fellowship offering. I'm not picking and I'm not trying to be mean, but let me tell you, we can have all kinds of fellowships and all kinds of gatherings and all, but that doesn't mean there's peace. The kind of peace God's after. And just because you say, that doesn't mean peace either. God knows the heart, doesn't He? And that's why circumstances are allowed to be designed out of our own doing usually. That always, are you with me? So the peace offering afforded opportunity for the worshiper to enjoy communion with God and the people of God. It celebrated peace with God established upon the efficacy of the atoning blood, and like the burnt offering, this offering was for acceptance of the offerer. Somebody said that to me when we were in Massachusetts. I just love that line. you say it all. It's true. Without sacrifice, there is no acceptance. Jesus was our offering, wasn't he? But you and I must be a what? Living. And what kind? Which is our? Reasonable service is just normal behavior, right? Or should be normal behavior. Is that not true? It's the price of entry, isn't it? It's getting in the gate or in the door. Do we understand that the peace offering was necessary, or what it did, it afforded us, right? Like the burnt sacrifice, acceptance to God. Now, listen, under that economy, they did that. They were accepted, weren't they? Now, you and I, we don't need to bring a bull, a lamb, a goat. We don't have to do any of those kind of things because Jesus fulfilled all that, right? So his atoning blood became the peace offering. He repaired the breach. That now you and I can have a relationship with God. Oh, hallelujah. Is that true? You know it's true. And the thing that you and I must understand this. If Jesus was our peace offering, we must become a peace offering also. How can you say it? Because listen, if Jesus offered himself, we must become, watch this, partaker, right? Because isn't that what the fellowship is about? And he wants us to be a partaker of the what? Divine nature. There's the prosperity. Remember this? You know the questions, right? Would you rather marry the man who works in the field or marry the man, be married to the man who owns the field? Turn with me to Leviticus 19. I like this right here. This is why it becomes an acceptance offering. You ready? Leviticus 19. You ready? Verse 5, and if you offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. I see two things here first. The first thing being is the offerings unto the Lord. I'm going to have peace with you because it's unto the Lord. Yeah. And it has to be according to my own will. My desire to do that. All right? Turn with me to chapter 22. Now, I like this part. Watch this. Verse 18. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his free will offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, you shall offer it at your own will, a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or the goats, but whatsoever has a blemish, you shall not offer it, for it shall not be acceptable for you. So in other words, if our offering unto the Lord is not spot free, what would make it blemished? Personal gain? Motivation? Deception? Trickery? Remember the miser? Hey, go ahead and eat. Enjoy it. But inside, what was he really thinking? God, I want to be friendly with you. But inside, let me see what advantage I can find here. He said it won't be acceptable if it's with spot, right? Blemish. Let's see. I think I have one more. Yeah, drop down to verse 29. And when ye offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. You know, I really do say this. You know, I know that, you know, my kids, I told you this. You guys sometimes think I'm so negative. But like when I hear, you know, like the shooting in Fort Lauderdale, and realize I wasn't really that far away from that type of circumstance. Or like the other day I told you, 10 minutes before I went through and right after, you know, a fiery crash. I mean, right on the very road I traveled that, you know, literally probably was in that lane. Not actually where the crash was, it went across, but where the guy was. But you just never know what can happen, right? And the only reason I look at those things, it becomes a gauge for me personally. Geez, how thankful to really be. Well, the Lord's watching over me and protecting me. Well, the Lord watches over all of His children in the human family. I don't understand everything. Just because I go to church and I bless Him doesn't give me any special advantages. That's just religion. God's after a thankful people. And it becomes a peace offering that must be without spot in order to be acceptable. And it's so easy. I mean, I'm guilty. It's so easy to get caught and distracted in everyday life that we forget how to be really thankful. I mean, oh, thank you, Lord, this happened. And no, I mean really to live a life of... I really believe this. This is just me. You can do what you want with it. But to truly be thankful means you would never really complain. Well, let me rephrase it. Let me say it like this. A completed work in thankfulness. Thankfulness means we would never be complainers. Because we'd always be doing unto the Lord, right? And our minds would be set where? Things above. It doesn't mean we would like things that go on, and, you know, that's not what I'm saying at all. But, I mean, to see a finished work of thankfulness means we'd never really complain, right? Are you all right? Must be an offering of our own free will. Amen? Now, this is the only offering in which the offerer himself partakes of his own offering. So in other words, listen, you get to be a partaker. In all the other ones, you laid your hands, you cut the animal, you killed it, you did everything, and you didn't get anything back from it. Right? But in this case, you not only get to partake of it, you also get to appropriate some of it to your family and friends. You get to have a feast. Listen, the Lord still got His. The priests will get theirs. But what is left over becomes yours. So you and your family and friends get to partake of this offering. This shows that he is not only brought into peace with God, but that he has also been made a partaker of the peace of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Are you ready? Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. You have to have faith, don't you? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His atoning blood repaired the breach for all of humanity, that man now can have peace. I like to use the word harmony with it. Peace and harmony with God. He now has the opportunity to come into a full relationship with God because Jesus repaired the breach. Man had no hope. Did he? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Romans 5:1 said that we can have what? Peace with God. Now look at verse 15. And let the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Did you hear that? So not only can we have peace with God, we can now have peace with one another because we are partakers of this offering. Now I don't know this, you know, I don't know that we can, you know, if we want to do this, but if we don't have a lot of peace with one another and we only have peace with God, I'm willing to bet that our peace with God isn't really in the category we think it is. Right? I mean, I understand that God, I think it says in Proverbs 3 that God will give you peace with God and man, right? But that doesn't mean every man's going to like you, and so just because you don't have peace with some folks, but I'm talking about of the brethren or the body. Right? That there has to be genuine peace. And it only begins peace with God. Amen? Okay, so the typical significance. The peace offering speaks of Jesus Christ, our peace. Ephesians 2:14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, can I say this? On Wednesday night, we talked about the trespass offering. The ministry was associated with what ministry? The what? The teacher. And I'm telling you, you go look it up. Every time they called him master, they were asking him a question, because master is the word teacher, really. Every time they were asking him a question in how to live. Go look. More times than not, you'll find when they called him teacher or rabbi, right? They were actually asking him, how should we live? And then he would tell them the way it is. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, the scriptures is the shekel of the sanctuary, the weight that teaches us through the Holy Ghost and how to live. And if he's telling you and I that we have peace with God, we are to have peace with one another as partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature isn't to make us somebody. The partakers of the divine nature is to make us become one in him. Amen. So Jesus is our peace, right? Verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So the wall that separated us, he repaired. Are you excited about that? He repaired it. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. He is our peace. He was the peace offering that repaired the breach between God and humanity. And because of that, right, by faith, we move by faith, don't we? You know, because someone could come and question your faith. Well, just because, you know, Jesus died on the cross, if you really believe that, right? You have to have faith to even believe that, don't you? Am I right? Listen, just because a book says it doesn't mean it's true. What do they say, right? You read it on the internet. Just because it's there doesn't mean it's true. A lot of Bibles on the internet. No. Hey, the internet has a lot of good information, doesn't it? It has a lot of bad information. But we're right back to the very thing, discerning the what? Spirit. He is our peace, isn't he? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Are you there? For it pleased the Father, 19, that in him should dwell all the fullness, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. This is why he's called the Prince of Peace, isn't it? He abolished the separation between Creator and creation. He fixed it. He connected the cord. There was a disconnect. And they now are connected. But it now becomes your and my responsibility to make sure the data or the results get back to the Father what he wants by design. You know, you could hook your car up to a scan tool, and if it's sending back data, it's connected now, isn't it? When it's not connected, there's a breach, isn't there? But if you plug in and you get connected, the data that goes back is only going to bring back good data or bad data. And God's only after the good. Well, this thing's still running the way I want it to. And look, I've already been through this. And, you know, we took Nathaniel's car out there and had new wheel bearings on. And I'm telling you, I believe this. Time's going to tell. One of the wheels, because Doug called me, he says, hey, still something wrong on that front end. I said, well, I drove it. I said, I think it's the wheel bearing. He goes, well, I just changed them and it felt good. I'm going to tell you what, I believe it's the wheel bearing. I don't care if it's brand new. God's after a design. Watch this, not just the design, but the mechanics of it to be just like him. Watch this, watch. If you've seen me, who's connected to him, you've seen the Father. So he, as our peace, has repaired the breach so that you and I can become a divine partaker or a partaker of the divine nature so that everything that goes back to the Father is exactly what he was after to begin with. Watch. He was plugged into Adam, wasn't he? Wasn't he? But not everything went back. It was of God. There was no breach when Adam made that decision, was there? He was connected. See, we get fooled by people with messages today. Well, hey, he's repaired the breach and everything's good. No, 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 no. Everything has to go back without spot or wrinkle. Well, are you perfect? That's not the question. Never been the question. First of all, it's not a loophole for someone else to do whatever they want. Watch this. I'm not your standard. He's the standard. He's the pattern. Now, we can become bad examples, right? I already told you that. That's the way they all do things over in that church based on just one person they meet. Doesn't mean it's true, but it does become a bad reflection. Right? He is our peace, isn't he? And so he repaired the breach. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he repaired the breach. It was the most joyous of all offerings and sets forth the whole work of God relative to the believer's peace with God. You know, can I say this? And it's for me, it's not for you. Because I know you've all perfected this. The truth of the matter is, really, if we're not really joyous, I don't mean happy because of circumstances, but if we're not joyous, we've not really laid hold of his peace. And really, the truth of the matter, this is for me, not for you. But if I have to find joy in how I set things in perspective, well, you know, someone hit my car, so, but in perspective of being shot in an airport, no, that's not really joyous either, is it? It's not true inner joy. Right? Because really, the truth of the matter, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He strengthens us regardless of what's going on around us, good or bad, right? I mean, we're 21st century Americans and we have it fairly well. I mean, like I said, you know, if the prophets were saying, hey, Paul, hey, Dale, this is what they're going to do to you when you get over there, you'd say, oh, thank you for warning me. God is my peace. No, he had joy inside because he knew. You know, one of the coolest statements Paul ever stated, it's in the book of Acts. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Man, that's unbelievable. Now, I know a lot, I can say that. A lot of people do. You know, I always remember when Randall Worley said this, and it's so true. I think every Christian needs this for reality. They need a litmus test. It's not what we say. He's our peace, isn't he? It's a joyous offering. If I really can't be happy about all the good that he's done, along with all the bad that you have, that has nothing to do with what makes this a joyous offering. He repaired the breach that you and I can have fellowship. Watch, it's John 17 is the peace offering, right? Father, that they might be one as we are one, that we all might be one together, that we all might be one, right? That's true peace, right? Watch this. Prefer one another above the next guy. No, yourself. That's true peace, isn't it? How about when Paul wrote, hey, even if you're right, just take the wrong. That works well today. That's peace. That's joy. Because you know that God repaired the gap so that we can be connected to Him and one another. Partakers, right? The cross of Christ is revealed in the peace offering. It has effected reconciliation between God and man. Hallelujah. Making it possible for believers to enjoy fellowship with God and His brethren. This is His table. Now, let's turn here. How many like God's table? Turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. The peace offering, right? It reconciles, doesn't it? God and man. Hello? It's a picture of His table, right? Because listen, where's the greatest fellowship? I'm not saying I was perfect at this, but I always believed this concept and principle. Now, folks that don't eat at the same kitchen table for dinner, they can't abide by this. But listen to me. Never, I'll tell the kids that are already married and the ones that get married and have kids, never correct your children at the dinner table in the sense of, you know, overall correction. For the reason is that it's become the fellowship table. It really is. I didn't say I was perfect. My goal always is, listen, the next generation does better than me. I can tell you this, you know, my parents, I've heard enough stories of the things that they used to do, and I might have repeated some of them things, but I can tell you that I've never seen my kids do it. I can only say, hey, hopefully the next generation is even better yet. Because that's God's goal, isn't it? Isn't it? All right, watch this. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. Hallelujah! Let's dance, right? God's so good to me, He prepared a table for me. In the presence of my enemies. In other words, He knew how to have peace and joy because He was thankful no matter where He was. Geez, I need to learn that. I used to say this all the time. I can't say that I never say it anymore, but I'm way much better. What am I doing here? Why am I here? I don't mean an overall scope. When you find yourself at a place, you understand what I'm saying? I remember in 1980, I was walking up and down the Jacksonville, Florida beach, and I hadn't slept in over 24 hours, and I walked up the beach. I went to the hotel, put my legs in the pool, and I can still remember it vividly. God, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I wasn't even really serving the Lord. What am I doing here? See, just because you don't think you're serving the Lord, and He might not, He knows what He's doing, doesn't He? He was preparing a table. Where was the real enemy? Between my ears. We always think the enemy's on the outside, right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. There's no lack when you have peace with God, fellowship or communion with God.
Now, a peace offering, the fellowship offering, is the table of communion.
I think you know something, this is just fresh to me right now. We're going to be somewhere along the line, we're going to have communion in this peace offering. Because it's what God does.
Right? The cup runs over.
This is his table. This is also a type of the Lord's Supper. See, look at that. The Lord's Supper and the spiritual realities to which it points. It's true. It really is true.
The peace offer. I'm going to end there for this morning. He is our peace. He repaired the breach, didn't he?
It didn't say he finished the work. Because the truth of a completely repaired breach is there's no flesh and blood.
He began a work.
Oh, hallelujah, that makes us joyous.
Let us go on to perfection or completion, or that we all might be one.
That, watch this, here's a better issue, right? That when they see us, they see Jesus. Not individually, but collectively.
Come on, watch this. What did Jesus say?
They'll know you're my disciples by the way you preach or teach or know everything.
No, he said, by the way, you what? Love one another. And the reason for that is you really can't love one another unless you're willing to lay down your life, which is really peace with God, isn't it?
Today is the day. If we hear his voice, what? Harden not our hearts. It's the writer of the Hebrews. Right?
God's awesome. He's got the coolest plan for creation in the whole wide world.
And out of all the things, I'm telling you, I told you, I mean, I get mesmerized by the intricacies of everything that he's done in the earth, above the earth, you know, in the oceans, wherever. Geez, I don't even really comprehend all the invisible realm. Hey, there's light in the invisible realm.
And God knows every little jot or tittle detail.
And yet, out of all that, Steve, he picked us to be partakers of the divine nature. I don't just mean us in this room. I mean humanity.
He never, watch, listen, think about this. You ever think about this?
We're talking about offerings, and they always had to offer an animal, right? But what was the one thing that God detested was when the humans started offering humans. Because what God really had created humanity for was a dwelling place of his peace offering in fullness, a partaking of oneness in God. Whew. A communion and fellowship.
And I really do believe this. I think if we're not careful, we can end up like the woman at the well, even though we've met Jesus. But her real issue was having a spiritual cry or call inside and always trying to fulfill it in a natural way.
That's why people are always, listen, we have that. We have that in the world, right? You'll see it. People will have their peace signs and their, you know, bumper stickers and they'll be kind. We have commercials about show kindness and all that stuff. Stuff is wonderful. I'd rather that than shootings in a, you know.
Let's stand.
Down goes the tree.
That's too funny. kids, they do the darndest things. Yeah.